On this episode of Chicago Beer Pass, Nick and I are drinking some Full Moon Looks from Solemn Oath and Pollyanna. As I talk about my pickup experience at Solemn Oath, Nick talks about picking up Thunder Taker from Revolution, and we get into the Yingling Miller Coors deal and a whole lot more. All that on this episode.
Here we are, hitting up events, drinking our way through Chicago beer, and trying not to miss a thing.
Yeah, because, you know, got a cork popped out, boom, it flies like fucking 10 feet. We're like, yeah, let's do it.
You know, all you have to do is add some fruit, stir it up, and ride that milkshake wave.
Whenever I see him, I got to take a photo with the most decorated brewer in Chicago, Jonathan Cutler.
It'll be like the stuff you hear. Every time you go to Floyd's, all the music sounds like this. Raw, raw, raw.
Sometimes you want a small beer, but really, you want a big beer.
You got to take in all those big aromatic hops.
Hey, what are you doing this weekend? Waiting in line for a bottle release?
Should have never been a fad. The black IPA is delicious.
Hey, and welcome to Chicago Beer Pass. I'm Brad Chmielewski.
Brad, what's up, man? I'm Nick White.
We're getting dank here.
Yeah, man. And Thursday is our new Tuesday, huh?
I guess so, yeah. I feel like Tuesday, or no one knows, this episode's come out randomly, but Tuesdays works out well when we were both. I was at the office all the time. You were working at your office. Now it's like Thursday is a better, like, roll into the weekend kind of.
Yeah, I think you're right, man. proper Friday Junior right here, boy.
Yeah, you don't need to, like, break up the week as much with the podcast.
Yeah, that's a fact. You know, the artwork on this, you almost had to take a double take, and they're like, this could be one of 70 breweries. They all have these, you know, one-off weird landscapes on their fucking
Yeah, dance. Like I was saying, we're getting dank because we got this dank West Coast style ale from Solemn Oath / Pollyanna.
Yeah.
Called Full Moon Looks, right? Full Moon Looks. With the Lotus and Galaxy hops.
Don't know much about a Lotus hop.
No, I would assume it's like flowery tasting. Because the Lotus flower.
Lotus flower.
When I saw dank, I expected hazy. But if you're watching the video, this beer is like clear and like pretty much like see-through. I don't know, like classic pale ale kind of look to it.
This is a good-looking beer. Mm-hmm. I think this is 2 weeks in a row for the West Coast, right? Because I think one of the Rev beers was a West Coast style.
Yeah, the base.
I think it might have been base, yeah. Couldn't have been Superstructure. Superstructure was weird.
Superstructure was like the Imperial, right?
Yeah.
But I picked this up at Solemn Oath. I was out there over the weekend, and I saw this, and I was like, that sounded pretty good. I was like, all right, let's give that a try. I didn't know what it looked like. I just went off name only and had never heard of it, so.
Yeah.
And then it's like, what is it, like 6%? 6.8. So, a good little kick.
It's quite nice. It's not as bitter as the West Coast IPAs I remember, which I can appreciate. It's got a Midwest sensibility, you know.
Right.
It's got a nice little fruity pineapple thing going.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because when I hear dank in West Coast, you think stone or even something from Sweetwater, like kind of aggressive, like but a ton of hops. This is.
I think grassy and resinous.
Yeah, this is.
You get a little bit of that.
A little, but it's like understated.
Yes,
it's nice
for sure.
Mm-hmm. But I went. I picked up some stuff from Solemn Oath because I was out that way visiting my mom, and I wanted a beer, like beer.
Yes.
And I was like, you know, I know Solemn Oath has beer with their. They got the end all.
End all IPA.
Yeah, that's like a hazy IPA. It's like a light hazy one, a little more hazy.
Talking about looks, we hated the way that beer looked.
Yeah. But then they have Lou. And Lou is just this, like, is it a Kolsch? Or?
I think so. And I want to say it's got a gold, at least a gold top.
Yeah.
Yeah.
With crazy, like I said, Ed Hardy kind of font to it. It's 4.7%. And I think I had too many hazy IPAs at home, and every time I would go into one, it would be like, this one has vanilla, this one has lactose, and I was like, I want a beer, I'm still working, I don't want to think about this, I don't want to be like, oh, that's too sweet, that's too aggressive. Lou, hits that spot.
Dude, we talked about it a little bit last week, and I'm not, because the more we're all working from home, well, most of us are working from home full time now, right? But then you're doing that, and like, you're going to work past 4 o'clock, but you're for sure cracking some open at four. And as much as I would like to say, it doesn't matter what I drink at four, mm-hmm. I notice my mood is different if I just have something like a Lou. Yeah. Then I'm just, you know, you're able to roll longer with the
deep
stuff
woods, cracking deep woods at 4 o'clock.
It's distracting. It's distracting. You're like, yeah, that's, yeah, distracting is the best word. You're like, fuck, I can't. I'm thinking about the party now.
So I should have got 2 6-packs of this because I already crushed my 6-pack of Lou in less than a week. And it is perfect. I think it's $7.99 a 6-pack. Like,
okay.
That's a great price point.
Yeah.
It makes me realize, like, drinking that and wanting that for so long, we've got people off of drinking, like, Miller Lite and Budweiser. It's like, sometimes you just, like, don't want to think about these beers. Like, there are better options than those two. Like, Lou is a proven example of that. But,
yeah,
I don't know. You just don't want to think about it sometimes. Sometimes you just want something to drink.
That's a fact. And I remember you were saying in the pre-show, like, the term IPA is broader than ever. So you get this super cool, you know, landscape art with the volcanoes and the sunset and all this other shit.
And you're not,
and you know, they describe it, but we know that it could be a number of things regardless of what it says.
Yeah, I don't know. Anyone who loved IPAs, I don't know, years ago because they were like aggressive and hoppy, you go in now, it might have, like we said, lactose. It could have an adjunct in it.
They might make a hazy and don't even tell you.
Right. Yeah. It could be extremely bitter. It might be more of the pale ale side. You don't even know what you're getting anymore. So the descriptions are a little lacking sometimes, which kind of sucks.
Yeah.
Where some of these barrel-aged beers have, you know, paragraphs on them describing them. And you know everything you're getting. And a lot of these IPAs are dank hazy with lactose and bramble. You're like, what? Okay, why? Is it so it's an IPA?
We still talking about IPAs here? What is all this shit? Yeah, but speaking of drinkable beers, man, and lagers, did you see this week? When's the last time you had a Yingling, Brad? A Yingling lager?
I've probably had it once. I was not a fan.
I mean, yeah. I tell you, man. First of all, I was surprised to see that they were like the number one seller. They're the top craft beer in America.
Right.
That brewery produces more of that than any other craft brewery. Yeah. Well, in part because Lagunitas is out. Right.
Yeah, they don't count anymore.
Yeah, they don't count. But yeah. Oh, but I think the news this week was not Lagunitas, but Yingling and Miller Coors came to a partnership. Sounds like it might be a 50-50 thing.
Okay.
Where they're going to make Yingling from coast to coast. They're going to leverage Miller Coors locations to do that, and this puts them in 22 new states.
Yingling. Okay. And Yingling, you couldn't get here in Chicago.
I think that was part of the appeal. So I went to the Football Hall of Fame in Ohio one summer, and it was Yingling and whatever shot of whiskey is on sale.
Okay.
The whole trip, because, you know, I was in Ohio and I couldn't get here.
Right.
But, I mean, that was the appeal for me. Like, it was there, you know? Like,
so, yeah, if it's here all the time, are they, like, over... Do they think this is going to do better than it is?
Right. I mean, I don't know. But you know what? I think it's probably better. It's better for Miller Coors than it is for you. I won't say that. It's better. It's good for both of them. But Miller Coors is probably really excited that they've got another lager offering that they can run through their entire lineup of lagers, right?
Yeah.
They got another portfolio option.
I guess. Yeah.
So good for them.
They were probably both, not like Miller Coors is it, but Yingling was in that probably weird spot where without bars and without sports, they're probably in kind of a shitty spot.
You talk about the top-selling beers in the country. They're all the macro lagers, right? Lagers and pilsners, right?
Mm-hmm.
We joke all the time that those companies, at their core, they make beer, but at their core, they're a marketing company, to your point. And their whole thing is events and fucking commercials and, yeah, getting their shit at bars and running specials and that kind of shit. A big part of what they do is that.
Yingling a shot, so.
So, yeah. So they're like, man, how do we spice it up?
Mm-hmm.
There we go, buy a lager company. It's smart. That's a good move.
Yeah. Yingling, whenever I hear it, it seems old to me. So I picture of it in like a bottle. I know they have like canned Yingling. It comes in cans. I have never seen it in cans because, like I said, we don't get it here. So I've only ever had it in the bottle. That's how I picture it in my mind when it exists. So it's going to be interesting if, when they roll out here. I do not think it does well in Chicago. We have...
No, you've got...
We have Goose Island. We have Revolution.
You've got houses that just focus on lagers.
Right.
You know, and then you've got crews that we love that also make good lagers. So I don't know how that's going to work here.
It's not. It's not.
It'll be like Oscar Blues had a monster blowout 2-week run when they first came. And that was it.
Right. I think
that's as good as it got.
You get a lot of people, pick up a 6-pack. You're like, oh, cool, it's here. And they're like, all right, I'll get Rev Pills. Or I'll get Goose's whatever. They got.
I'm trying to think.
The Goose one.
312.
But. So I'm thinking of like Civic. I kind of like that a lot. That Civic Ale, but I don't know what's the Goose one like. Civic. That's like year round.
It's got to be
like summertime.
Summertime was their Kolsch.
Yeah,
I'm drawing a blank too, but there's got to be one.
Right.
Yeah.
Or the Golden Ale, Sox Golden Ale.
Yeah. That's probably the closest thing to it.
Why would I get Yingling over that Sox?
If you saw both of those, you're absolutely right.
This has two Chicago things on it. This one
is from fucking
old timey
parts unknown Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
A part of Hills of Pot. I think it's Pottsville, Pennsylvania or some shit. Yeah.
And some like scripty font. I don't know. This doesn't look cool.
So that happened this week.
A
spot that Brad can walk to but has never been to, the Beer Temple.
Oh, yeah.
They partner with FedEx, and they're going to deliver beers same day, Brad, to the entire Chicagoland region.
Damn.
And I'm talking, like, Joliet to fucking, like, pretty much Kenosha, like, the entire region.
Same day. What time? Was there a time you have to order by? Probably, like, noon or something like that, right? Because, like...
Get your orders in by noon, man.
Because if it's, like, 3 o'clock, and you're like, I want this here by 5, that's not happening.
This is pretty good for them if that works. Is that a thing that you can... That sounds... I don't know. It sounds like an expensive proposition, right? FedEx... You know, I use FedEx a lot.
It's kind of expensive.
A little bit. I think they're opening up to, like, Bourbon County, and, you know, you can get that shipped to you. So if you're someone that wants some kind of cool, small release in the city, and you're in Batavia...
Right.
This is a win for you.
The same day thing is amazing... I gotta say, most people are probably okay if it comes tomorrow. Because if I was to order beer and I want it now, like I want it now. I don't want it in like 4 hours. And if it comes 4 hours, it might as well just come 8 hours.
I mean, so you know, you're up having your coffee, and you know, you're looking at your email, and you're like, yeah, I think I'm gonna order from the Beer Temple. Yeah, and then...
That's there for dinner time?
FedEx shows up at like fucking 7, 8 o'clock. Yeah. How you gonna feel? I don't know. You might have mixed feelings about that.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah.
But, yeah. The same day thing is like kind of amazing, but also just, like...
Yeah. They have a nice selection of beers, so I wonder how that plays out for
them. Yeah.
Yeah. And it keeps you kind of... keeps people talking about you with all these options, because all the options are, you know, going towards the retail. So this kind of keeps you in the conversation more, right?
Yeah, and Beer Temple has, like, an amazing selection. Like, I see it pop up in feeds and people talking about it all the time. And it's like, oh, man, I should just order from them and get some stuff that I never get. So I'm like, sometimes they have Scratch. Sometimes what they had that drop from that, was it Other Half?
Yeah.
They had stuff like that.
That's
true.
It's
like, maybe I should check some of these out.
If the local option ever decide they're doing same day,
local option still around?
I guess it's in fucking Lincoln Park. I'm never in Lincoln Park. I just hate being so far east. You know, it's just like congested.
I forgot about that place.
But every time I go there, there's always a beer I've never heard of.
Yeah,
and like I would love for that experience to show up at my door. Mm-hmm. You know, I won't even be mad if it's 8 o'clock at night.
Is local option beer in cans?
They had they did produce their own beers.
Yeah.
Maybe.
I remember seeing them on tap. I don't know if I've seen them.
I remember seeing artwork, but I don't know if they were packaged.
Yeah, I don't know if I've ever seen a packaged.
The list of crazy bottles that they always have.
Yeah.
That stuff too. I would want that stuff too. Yeah. Get your Crowler machine. Bring it on. I want all of it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because I like local option and I never go.
Yeah. Would you go if we were outside of COVID time? But just too far east. You just don't go there.
I'd for sure ride my bike to local option.
Okay.
And just hang out and be like, what do you got? And I'd ask about this and they'd give me. They're all listening to fucking like Norwegian metal, death metal.
Right.
Got super long hair, some shit out of Beavis and Butthead, and they know everything about all these weird ass, obscure fucking European beers. And I'm like, this is great. And then they're like, would you like a fucking po' boy? And I'm like, this is a heavy metal craft beer bar that sells like fucking Cajun food.
Yeah.
And it's in Lincoln Park. It's bizarre.
In a neighborhood. It's not even like. Not even on like a main street. They're like basically houses and a school next door. What is this place?
That's exactly what.
Why are you here? Who comes here?
Yeah, man. Why
are all the beers like $8?
Also, a little stiff. A little stiff price point over
there. A lot of questions going on there. If you're still even around local option, so.
Yeah, man. So.
That's the, I don't know, that same day thing. Almost need to test it and see like what's up, even though I could literally walk there and get my same day.
It's been X number of years. Brad has never gone.
They're like, you lazy.
The guild is running a program where they'll send you an Illinois Craft Brewers Guild dimpled stein.
Oh, cool.
For Oktoberfest, if you go buy one of the local Oktoberfest offerings, take pictures with some props and post it, and you enter a contest. They'll send you like a pair of steins for Oktoberfest.
That's cool. Yeah. I know. I got my stein here. You got yours from
the Argus one.
Argus one.
That's a nice stein.
We should get some Oktoberfest and fill those up.
Get one of them little ass hats with the feather. What are those called? Is that it's not a fedora. It looks like a fedora, right? Though, right? Yeah. You know what I'm talking about, right?
Yeah. One of those. Yeah.
Yeah.
German.
One of those little German hats with the little feather.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Just
or a fucking.
Fill up a liter of beer. I'll do a liter episode.
And get my. It's got a piano and it looks like a harmonica kind of
thing.
The
accordion?
Yeah.
You have an accordion?
I mean, I don't, but if you got one, I'll for sure pose with it. If you got one. That's what I mean, with my little hat.
So the guild's offering that. What would be your Oktoberfest? What are you getting? You gotta fill up a liter, so what's that like?
Damn.
Is that like 3 or 4 cans? Like what's an ounce to a liter? 64? Is there 64 ounces in a liter? That's a gallon.
Ugh. What are ounces per liter?
Yeah, I don't know. Good thing we've got the internet here.
I tell you.
I feel like I think it's 48?
33,
man.
I don't know. That's a whole crowler. In your glass. It's a crowler glass.
Oh, okay.
Right?
That makes more sense.
That's a lot. This is a good question because I had some Palliner, one of the 6 official Fest beers.
Oh, I saw you post
at fucking Oktoberfest in Munich. There's only 6 breweries that pour there. And I had a couple of theirs. There's a Fest beer, and then there's the Marzen, right, the darker one. And they weren't my jam. So I was like, man, I've had local options that are more enjoyable than this. And I don't know if that's... Is that blasphemous? But I'm just telling you how I felt. I'm drinking it, and I'm just like, I wouldn't want another one of these. Right?
Maybe some Afterburner? We get a crawler of Afterburner from Metro.
Yeah.
Because that's 2 liters then.
That is 2 liters.
And then we go. Then we go. Fill up our Argus.
Or the Stein. Argus. The Argus Marzen.
They're not a thing.
But I'm saying.
We got the picture. We keep looking over that way. Because
there's a picture. I forget there's a camera. There's but you know,
they're not. How are we gonna? That would be so old.
It'd be from last year. We don't know.
Gross.
It's a locker. We don't know. It's keg conditioned. we don't know.
We're getting a keg.
They might give us a keg. I mean, what are they gonna do? Right?
What do they have left?
When did they close? In March or something? Probably, right?
Oh, they haven't. Oh, yeah.
They closed to the public.
Oh. So you think they still have inventory?
What if there was in March? Okay. What if there was some in the tank? We don't know. If there was 2020 Marzen in the tanks in March, because you know at lagers, the shit, Dovetail and Rev will tell you, they lager these beers for, you know, 2 months.
Yeah.
You can just hang out and lager for 2 months.
Maybe that was Argus's thing. Be like, are we brewing Oktoberfest? That's like next week. We got to start this. Like,
they looked at the numbers.
Shut it down.
They were like, shit. We're like, nah, man, we're out of here.
We can't afford that.
What are you,
crazy? We still got last year's Oktoberfest here.
We do this one, we'll have 2 years of Oktoberfest. What are you talking about? It was good, though. I will say
that. There's a solid,
it was
yeah.
pretty good. I'm gonna go with, rest in peace, I would go with Argus.
You go Argus with their first Stein. All right, yeah. So we're going to do, Oktoberfest would have started?
It would have started this weekend, okay. So Saturday.
All right.
So it's the 16 days leading up to the first Sunday in October. That is Oktoberfest.
To the first Sunday in October?
Yeah.
Okay, so we got a couple weeks. Coming up, we'll do a, we'll get our steins and we'll do a Oktoberfest.
I'm down with that. I think, you know, the Fest beer was actually a little bit better than the Marzen. I didn't understand. I thought they were
the
cinnamon.
Market or the
Haymarket? Oh, the Polaner. And I'm going to pull up the list. I thought it was interesting that only six could sell there. I didn't understand that. Like, only six breweries can sell at the actual Oktoberfest.
Strange governmental old world rules kind of thing.
Yeah. I thought that those were synonyms. Like,
Marzen
and Fest beer meant the same thing.
No.
But a Marzen is a totally different thing from a Fest beer.
Yeah.
Like, Fest beer is like 5%. Marzen is like 6.5%. Fest beer is like light and golden, and a Marzen is like, you know, the amber color, the one we know to be at Oktoberfest. I don't know why I thought that word was either or, but it's not.
I think because we interchange them where but Marzen / Oktoberfest is the one that's lagered for longer. The Fest beer is basically like, fuck it, let's give people something else to drink.
Yeah, and so the six Munich breweries that serve at Oktoberfest, Augustiner, Hackershore, Hofbräu, Löwenbräu. I haven't heard that in a while. Löwenbräu. Polaner. I don't know how to say that. And Spaten.
Okay. Spaten's always the one at Lincoln Square, their Oktoberfest, which I'm sure that got canceled.
Yeah.
I didn't see any news about that, but I'm sure that got canceled.
Yeah. They were saying the Polaner one was the top-selling beer at Oktoberfest. In part, for a long time, they didn't. They only sold it at Oktoberfest. It's the only time all year you could get it.
Oh, okay.
So I guess people got excited about that.
That's cool. That's a good way to do that. All right. So we'll get a crawler, a growler, or a bunch of cans of something.
And fill our steins. I will say this. I'm not a big fan of the Fest beers I had, but I do enjoy that these are lagers. Like, the American lagers don't taste like those lagers at all.
Right.
So I'm glad we're focusing on lagers being can have a bunch of different types of styles, right?
Yeah.
Different flavors is what I meant to say. Lagers can have varying flavors.
We might have to get the Dovetail one.
Yeah.
Really. That's what we should do. We never have Dovetail on the podcast.
That's very true.
The one time we did, which the cans were questionable. But.
Yeah, we kind of took an L on the cans. But I like Oktoberfest because it focuses on the range of flavors in the lager style.
Yeah.
And then the other part is I really like steins. It's the only time of year where we're thinking about, let's bust out the stein, man.
Yeah.
You know?
One time on a Oktoberfest story, I was in Boston during Oktoberfest, and we went to the Sam Adams Brewery in Jamaica. Yeah.
Is in Boston?
Yeah, in Boston.
I haven't been to Sam Adams.
Jamaica or whatever the little. Yeah, I think it's Jamaica Town.
I don't know. I haven't been. I don't know.
I forget. Oktoberfest is not a thing in Boston.
Really?
Is Boston. It's like Irish.
When you see the Sam Adams, the logo, you see the mud.
It was weird because they didn't really know what it was supposed to be, but I did the Stein holding thing, and there was 50 people at this Oktoberfest party at Sam Adams Brewery.
You know who threw a killer Oktoberfest was the your boys over at Cruz Blanca.
Oh.
When they had, you know, 10 beers. And one was Oktoberfest. And the other nine were fucking...
table beers.
They were table beers and beer de garde.
Beer de garde. Yeah.
When they first opened, yeah. Mm. Oh.
All right.
One more note about Oktoberfest, and we'll close that.
Man, that's sad that also Oktoberfest kind of got canceled this year.
They said the last time it canceled was because of World War II.
Two.
Other than that, it's been rolling.
Or the plague was probably, or might not have been a thing. Because that's the story you keep hearing where it's like, this thing hasn't closed since the bubonic plague. It's like, oh, shit, really?
You know, 6 million people over like 2 weeks. It's the largest party, you know, in the world. A prince got married, right? A prince got married in 1810, and they were two of the founding members of the city of Munich.
Okay.
And the Oktoberfest celebrates that marriage.
Their marriage.
Okay. Yeah, so that was it.
All right. So I feel like we should just be drinking Steins or Oktoberfest for the next couple of weeks. Just get in.
Yeah, maybe. Or pumpkin ales.
Pumpkin
ales. No pumpkin ale.
I haven't had a pumpkin ale in a long time. I have a friend that loves Shipyard's pumpkin. Mm-hmm. That's jam. He's a pumpkin spice latte kind of guy and Shipyard pumpkin head. But other than that, I have not had one.
It's been a while. I think I might have got some Sailor Jerry's rum and some pumpkin because I heard somebody do it like a few years ago from Target. As a matter of fact, I think it was the Target people that told me to do it.
Okay.
They were like, oh, you're getting that? Get the Sailor Jerry's rum. And I was like, all right, cool.
I'm surprised someone hasn't done a milkshake IPA pumpkin.
And get kind of like their spice latte. It's like a spice latte.
Pumpkin pie.
Yeah.
IPA.
Spice latte. It's lumpkin. Spiced latte pumpkin IPA.
Milkshake IPA.
Yeah. Okay. It might not.
Sounds like an Energy City.
You know? It might not suck. There are some crews like that one that might pull that off.
Yeah. I'm not down to try it, yeah.
I would share a can. I would like to try this.
All right. So I went to Selmoth and picked these up. Mm-hmm. Didn't drink, but they have a really great patio. I just went up to the window and picked up my beer and left. But great patio, so if you're looking to drink in the Burbs parking lot, looks great. You went over to Revolution.
Yes, Viva la Revolution.
Not to drink, but to pick up some beer.
Yeah, man. Deep Woods is upon us, you know. We still have last year's Deep Woods lineup.
Full lineup, yeah.
I talked to Chris Jacobson.
Yeah.
I don't know, he's maybe. Down. He's down. Down. I don't think he's got Rona.
I don't know. He's all over the place. He's got a lot of people hanging out of his house. I've seen him out and about.
These are fair observations. But Dark Woods, Deep Woods 2021 is kicking off Friday. So, Thundertaker is first up, man.
Thunder.
I love that song. Thunder. And that's how when you could have people at White Sox Stadium, the starting lineup will come out to that song.
Oh, too. Nice. Okay.
Yeah, that's a jam.
So Thundertaker, tell me about this. This is a Binny's special?
Yeah, so Binny's selected barrels from Buffalo Trace. So it's a collection of Buffalo Trace barrels and Blanton's barrels. Okay. And Revolution has an Imperial Rye Stout. Now, I think it's interesting because rye is, well, it's a more expensive grain. We talked about that before.
Yeah.
But then the use of rye consistently in special releases is something that Revs kind of own and are running with, right? Like Rye Way to Heaven and VSOR, right? I don't know if there's been a rye wine yet, but those two in particular are really fucking fantastic. And I don't really look forward to like a rye beer at all. You know, I think fucking Clybourne had a Roggen beer, which I want to say is like a Hefeweizen with rye. I believe that's what that is.
Oh, okay.
But there's a short list of crews that are like, hey, let's throw some rye in a fucking beer.
Right. You usually get like red eye from Two Brothers or that racist brewery that shall not be named.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. The man, that beer's good, too. It sucks that they're so whack, because I actually like some of their beers. I'm like, but I can't fuck with them.
Yeah. But it's usually red.
Redunculus or Redanculus. Redanculus. Imperial Red.
Oh.
Yeah, it's fucking good, too. Fuck those guys.
So, yeah, it's usually, like, for some reason, a lot of red rye.
Yes. Before you see like a straight up rye.
Mm-hmm.
So that's Thunder Taker. I think Blanton's in Buffalo Trace.
Oh, you got a. Nick came prepared if you're watching the video. We got Blanton's. We got the box, and I assume there's whiskey inside of it.
I think so.
So what makes Blanton's. Why is that unique for them to do this over whatever other whiskey barrel?
Yeah, it's not just the packaging. It's a really cool grenade bottle with a little horsey on top. You collect them all, and right. You know, it looks like you're running a race. It's not just that. I think Blanton's, the actual dude, Albert Blanton, he built a warehouse at Buffalo Trace because he was president at one point.
Okay.
There's only one metal warehouse at Buffalo Trace. All the other ones are brick and wood, rick houses, just like all of you, anything you've seen, okay. Right? So with metal, the idea is that the metal changes the temperature. The temperature fluctuates a lot more often with
metal. It'll probably get really hot.
It gets really hot. It gets really cold. So these whiskey folks will tell you once, you know how that's the big thing about whiskey, right? Like, well, it penetrates the barrel, and then it comes back out, and that's why Kentucky's so great, because the temperature is always changing. But, I mean, the reality is, like, if it gets 45 degrees or less, it's almost like putting it in a glass, right? There's no interaction.
Okay.
So you got metal versus typical brick, and it interacts, the liquid interacts with the barrel more, and it can fluctuate, it changes the taste and profile of the whiskey based on that.
Okay.
That's what these guys thought. So Blanton's is the only warehouse in their whole lineup that does that. So instead of blending it, they're like, these barrels are all special barrels. When Albert Blanton was alive, he would go pick out barrels and he would, like, you know, party with the governor, or he'd have a guest over and he'd go pick them just from his warehouse.
Oh, shit.
So when he died, they came and created this as a tribute to him, but they were like, hey, this is a sweet spot where he would go get these barrels that he partied with. So let's release that as its own thing.
Mm, okay.
Yeah. Oh, but then as far as I know, man, at least locally, no one's ever just used those barrels to age beer in.
Right. Well, there can't be a lot of, right? I don't know how big this warehouse is.
Right. So. I think 15,000 barrels, I think.
That's a good amount, but that's not a lot.
It's not a crazy amount.
Yeah.
It's not a crazy amount of
barrels. Where would these barrels end up? Would they just go to other whiskey then?
No. I think with American whiskey, you can only use the barrel once.
Oh, so they go to Scotland.
Everything goes to something else, yeah. Okay. You can't use it twice. Okay. So, but then that's one of the loopholes in Canadian whiskey, I think, is you don't have to have a new oak barrel.
Okay.
Yeah, and then Scotch. You know, Scotch for sure uses American whatever whiskey barrels. Yeah.
Okay.
You know, or soy sauce or honey or, you know, whatever the fuck. Mm-hmm. Other products.
Yeah, okay. So, yeah, I don't know. They had to be on, like, a list or waited a while to get these blend barrels or, like,
I think that's
become
where,
friends with them.
That's where Benny's came in.
Okay.
I think because Benny's went down and selected
that makes sense.
Certain... barrels from the Blanton's selection. They said these barrels are Blanton's, but you can pick from these barrels.
Okay.
I hear different stories about how barrel selections work, right? Because, you know, there's store picks. Like, you know, Warehouse Liquors has a store pick of Benny's,
right?
Or store pick of Blanton's. But how does that work? Do you go down there and hang out and they say, these are the 10 barrels, pick one for your store? Or do they come up and give you samples and say, hey, here's a fifth? Here's a couple ounces. This is what they all taste like. I don't know how that works.
Yeah, I don't know. Goose had their, I was at Ken Hunnemeyer's place, and he had the Goose bourbon that was like one of the barrels that they picked out that they like. I don't know how that selection process went.
I think if you're Goose, you're going down there because you're Goose.
You're Goose. You get to pick whatever. Yeah. Like
now, if you're Benny, if you're Big Star, right? Like you're going down there because, you know, you're part of a restaurant network. You're part of that. The publican and so all that shit.
Depends on how cool and how much money you have.
And how much volume you're doing. Yeah. So I would imagine a crew like Benny's would go. That would be my guess.
But that's not a lot of barrels to pick from in general. So probably like
they might just roll into Benny's and say these are the ones.
This is the X amount that are coming out this year.
Yeah.
Do you here? You want to try these? Let's go. Would you like any of these?
I will say this, man. Like whenever we, whenever a Dark Lord is too sweet or a fucking Hubbard's Cave is too sweet, you know, you reach for these bourbons and you put something in it and you change it. And what we notice right away is like, depending on the bourbon, it accents different notes in the beer.
Okay.
You know? So just because you put bourbon in it doesn't mean it's fixed. It can amplify the wood note, and now it's like a syrupy fucking soaked wood mess, right? Mm. Like, so picking the right barrel to age your beer in is still kind of a big deal. It doesn't like, oh, good beer, any kind of barrel, it works. I don't think it works that way. Well, it doesn't work that way if you're putting whiskey in beer. Right. If you splash it with whiskey, it doesn't work that way. Yeah. So. Okay. Or even like to Goose would always tell you, unbarrel aged Bourbon County has never been sold because unaged Bourbon County was never meant to drink on its own. It was designed for a barrel.
Right. Yeah. So it probably doesn't taste very good, right? There's always that rumor that Night Stalker was unbarrel aged, but they
Yeah. It was like a dry hop unbarrel aged.
Continually squash that. Even though that always pops up.
Man. That's the only reason why I really, one of my few regrets is that at Goose, you pay $80 and you go hang out with, you drink the whiskey and then you drink every stage of Bourbon County.
Mm, okay.
You know, unbarrel aged, dry hopped, fucking a year, 2 years.
Yeah.
I wish I'd have done that so I could just kind of know more.
And a little, yeah, okay.
Yeah.
But it doesn't sound like there's very much Thundertaker because, one, there's not a lot of Blanton's barrels. And this is a very limited run, but they are available at all the Binnie's.
Yeah. Every Binnie's in the state is going to get, I think, 6 cases.
Okay.
Right? I think that's right.
That's not that many.
No.
Because it comes in 4-pack boxes. Yeah. So
yeah, and every Binnie's in the state except Springfield. I don't know what Springfield did to get on the list off the list.
But
yeah, Springfield's not in, but every Binnie's in the state is going to get this, and it drops the same day as the brewery, which is kind of cool.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
So there was like the pre-order for the brewery, but no pre-order for the Binnie's.
Yeah, each Binnie's gets 5 cases, and then 1 case equals 6 4 packs. Yeah.
Yeah, that's not that many.
Yeah. I tell you, man, they announced the pre-sale, Tuesday?
Yeah.
At 10 a.m. So, you know, I set my alarm. I went on. And right away, their website shut down. And then it didn't get back up till like 1 o'clock.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. But this is the first time that they've had it pre-order website only for their beers. A lot of times you can, you know, a lot of times I think you just show up to the party. Right, and get the beers.
Mm-hmm.
They've never done these beers exclusively online.
Well, the two winter ones were online, the Supermassive and
yeah, they were curbside. You're right.
So they did
mixed
berry.
Yeah, mixed berry right away.
I don't know. Maybe the demand wasn't there for those. Maybe they were kind of the winter or they were the cold weather ones.
You're kind of splitting. Yeah, I don't think.
I guess they were the summer ones, but
yeah.
It's just like maybe people didn't care at that time. We were too in the pandemic, and now we've kind of people gotten used to how this works now.
Yeah, and then you're splitting. A lot of people aren't all in on mixed berry. Nothing like. Mixed berry, whatever. I'm out.
Yeah, Thunder. That sounds like badass, man. Like I'm gonna get that beer.
Yeah. I know. Well, Blanton's is a cult favorite. Everyone loves the bottle,
yeah.
And it's like you know, it's hype beast, fucking. But you know, it's approachable. It's got some really nice, almost I want to say like fruit cocktail notes. Like that's why people love it. It's fucking. It's delicious. It's the high rye mash bill, so there is a nice spice to it.
Mm.
But overall, it's an approachable, fruit forward, honey forward fucking whiskey. So that's why people like it.
Nice. Are you and Afro Beer Shake going to talk about these two on the podcast?
I don't know, man.
This sounds like a perfect thing for the neat pour.
We've been fucking arguing. I don't know what to tell you, Brad.
This is like
I tell you, you know, we've been fucking ridiculous.
The Blanton story is really cool. I don't know a lot about whiskey and bourbon. I know enough to get by.
Yeah.
Right? It's one of those things where it's like often people are like have too much knowledge, they're dangerous, but that's kind of where I'm at. Like I know enough where I know what's good. I don't want that Jim Beam or like the basic Jim Beam, but like I know, like, yeah, so that's kind of where I'm at. So it's fun hearing the stories.
Yeah, it's cool. I like Buffalo Trace because they name all a lot of their whiskeys after like important people that also used to run the joint. Mm-hmm. So, you know, E.H. Taylor, Albert Blanton, Elmer T. Lee.
Right. Paying those respects to those people.
It's like a, you know, it's like a living, breathing museum kind of come to life. And then this, the Blantons was actually made for the Japanese market. Right, because they've got, you know, they've got different palates. You know, they prefer like a what am I trying to say? Not discerning, but like they like a little more balance and a little more nuance and not a lot of like really big notes.
Right, so, the American whiskey and bourbon, it has like a little bit of a burn that Japanese whiskey does not have.
So this more approachable style was initially made for the Japanese market.
Oh,
right, because
okay.
I think at the time Elmer T. Lee was the master distiller, and he was pitching the idea for this around the time they sold to a Japanese company. So that's what the Japanese company saw. They said,
right.
"Hey,
are they part of the Yamazaki?"
Not Yamazaki. It's different though.
Okay,
but yeah, they were. It's like a holdings company that's in like a bunch of other shit.
Okay,
but I think part of the reasons that Blanton's got the green light is because the guys who had just bought the company were talked into investing into the distillery by Elmer T. Lee, and their initial thought was, okay, the shit you're describing, as soon as you make it, our primary market is Japan for this shit.
Okay.
And then a lot of Blanton's goes to Japan first. So like this is the gold, and this gold is the first time gold's been in America is this summer. But, like the OG Blanton's is here, but then they've got these other variants like straight from the barrel and gold, both are higher proof. Those have actually only been sold overseas, which I think is bullshit. But that was the focus of the company when they, at the time, Blanton's was introduced.
Huh.
Yeah. Man, we talking that whiskey shit, Brad?
I know. All right, so we're gonna do another video. Make sure you check out the YouTube channel because we post a lot of beer reviews of stuff we don't drink on the podcast or things we get extra of. So we're going to drink a Thunder Taker, probably dive into some plans. So check out that video. We'll continue to talk about some of these same things we're probably just talking about as we repeat ourselves as we drink more. Any other beer-related things we need to talk about? Noon Whistle, their Naperville location opened. So congratulations to them. I'm still not totally clear where it is, but I saw some pictures. Looks like they had a nice little turnout. They have some indoor seating, outdoor seating. Looks like a big open space, so probably great for winter. As winter comes and we continue with COVID, we'll be very spaced out from people, so look nice.
For sure. Shout out to the Solemn Oath. I like this Pollyanna Solemn Oath collab, but then also this Saturday, it's Viking season, so it looks like Avenged by Vikings and Kidnapped by Vikings are being released at Solemn Oath.
Oh, nice.
You know,
I was there a weekend or too early.
You missed it, man. But it's not your fault, man, because, you know, they've been sitting on this fucking spot in Logan for like a year. So
yeah, I thought when we talked to Hobbs, he said they were going to open like some sort of to-go thing, or that was like their play.
That's like a... That's not far from... That's striking distance right there.
Yeah.
I'd go there.
Picked up more... City Water, the Valencia Orange.
Yeah, that's your jam.
The best one. Like, they have like a berry one that's good, but Valencia Orange is, that's the best.
I'm gonna have to revisit it because Rosa is out as an activity beverage for me.
Okay.
Out. So I've got some City Waters. I'm gonna revisit those this
week. Yeah, if you have Valencia Orange, that's fucking the best one. I think we have like one can of those left in there.
All
right. Yeah. It's tough when you're like, this is my favorite. But I don't want to drink them all. Like, you save the one for later. It's a thing. It's like when you have, like, a buffet and you're eating, like, that bite's the best. But I don't.
That's Brad, man. I'm too big to be hanging out at the buffet, man. That's all Brad right there.
All right, let's get out of here because I want to try this Thundertaker.
Let's do it.
Nick, where can people find you? Get in touch. We're not recording.
Right on, man. I'm on Twitter, at Nicosio.
And I'm on Twitter, at BRad, Chicago Beer Pass, Chicago Beer Pass, Instagram, Facebook, website, chicagobeerpass.com. Everything gets posted there. And yeah, let's dive into this Thundertaker, and we'll be back with our Stein episode.
Cheers.